Hello and welcome to a special edition of StarCast from Planet Waves. My name is Eric Francis Coppolino, the author of the Planet Waves Horoscope, soon to return, and the host of Planet Waves FM on Pacifica Radio Network. Welcome and thank you for joining me for this presentation on the Virgo New Moon forthcoming as of this recording on the 25th of August, 2022. The new moon takes place in Virgo at 4:17 in the morning, Eastern Daylight Time, on August 27th. That is which day of the week? Let's see if I can find my calendar. August 27th is Saturday, so this is very early Saturday morning. Is the new moon in Virgo. The new moon is the alignment of the moon and the sun in a conjunction. They always form a conjunction in the same sign because it is an actual exact conjunction. And this one takes place at 4 degrees and 4 arc minutes of Virgo, 0404. The new moon generally takes place once per year, per sign. So this is the once only this year new moon in Virgo. Sometimes if the new moon in a sign takes place very early in that sign, there'll be a second new moon in that sign. Same with a full moon, only because it takes place at 4 degrees and a little bit extra. Then the next new moon will clearly be in Libra shortly after the forthcoming Libra equinox. All right, so this is my first astrology project for a while. I've taken a little breather. It always takes me a minute to wake that part of my brain back up after I have given it a rest, and it does need a rest. I've been reading astrology for 25 years. So to all who read the Planet Waves horoscope and perhaps depend on it, thank you for your patience while I refill the well. And here now back with some stuff for you. All right. So this new moon chart is a complicated little chart, and there are some unusual themes in this chart. And one of those themes seems to be people being shaken out of their stagnation and atrophy. We see this in the, well, let's hold that thought. We'll come to the minor points later, because this chart is heavily influenced by several different minor points, and not all of them are minor planets. Two of them in this chart are hypotheticals, which don't have bodies, but we'll get there in a moment. So the outstanding thing about this new moon chart is that it is in an exact square to Mars in Gemini. So the new moon takes place at 4 Virgo 4, and at that time, the new moon in Gemini is at 4 Virgo 1. So that little difference in the second smaller number, which is an arc minute, is negligible. You can have a aspect that's got quite a lot of influence, even several or more degrees apart. And here, it is not only in the same degree, it is within 3/60ths of 1 degree. So that's super close. And that means that essentially the new moon and Mars merge into one thing for the purposes of this alignment. That square in the form of astrology that I use essentially becomes a conjunction, although it becomes a conjunction with the dynamics of square, because it is at 90 degrees, and when I say becomes a conjunction, I mean functioning as one unit, as one thing. It brings those planets very close together, and they're both, all three are on the mutable cross. And so with a square aspect, one of the things you get is a very tense internal dynamic. It is a thing that must be worked out inwardly. And the thing with squares is that they call for being worked out inwardly, and yet they can also be projected out into the world and seem to manifest as some form of an external event, or some form, with Mars involved, particularly in Gemini, some form of an external conflict. But really what is going on is originating within you and then spreading out into the world. Now, that's going to be the theme of this Mars in Gemini, which is an unusual event in that Mars will be in Gemini for 7 months. Mars entered Gemini, I think, on Saturday, a little bit less than a week ago, as of this recording. And because there's a Mars retrograde in Gemini from October 30th out to early January, I forget the exact date, Mars is sticking around in Gemini for a long time. And that is always intense. It is an overabundance of Mars. And what happens with Mars in Gemini is that there is likely to be some excitation or some form of stirring up this dualistic quality that Gemini has. Now, Gemini is a dry, masculine, airy sign. And so that Mars blowing through Gemini is a hot wind. Now, fortunately, the Moon-Sun conjunction in Virgo cools that off a little bit, at least here in the Northern Hemisphere, where it seems that most of the world's problems are taking place. The season is cooling off, and it has been a very hot summer in most places, especially places like China. And so it is at least good that this is happening in autumn, but that's what happens, or let's say very late summer, but that's what happens when there are events with the sun in Virgo. So we've got this sun-moon square Mars dynamic, and that's going to be the main thing that most astrologers are going to be writing about. And it certainly does look like it is ripe with mental strife. We see this because Virgo, first of all, is a highly mental sign, and Gemini is also a highly mental sign, and then Mars is all over this. And so the idea here, the upshot, is not to project your conflict outward, but rather to work it out inwardly. And the thing with a square is that the first thing you'll do is you'll have some form of a thought form or event or incident that calls up one side of the square, perhaps Mars and Gemini side, where there may seem to be this this inner conflict and this split, this inner division, some kind of a, let's say, some kind of a conflict, it looks like. And then that will go on for a while. And then the next thing that you'll likely to do is to work on the new moon side, to work on the Virgo side, and to bring those integrated parts together. And this theme, by the way, of integration, of inward assimilation of your reality, is perhaps the most important theme of all of astrology. Astrology is in many ways about integrating opposites. It is about joining together and combining things that seem to be separate. And here we have the two Mercury-ruled signs are very much activated by this new moon. We've got one Mercury-ruled sign in the form of Gemini, which is going to have Mars rolling through it for months and months. And then we have the other Mercury-ruled sign, the feminine Mercury-ruled sign, Virgo, where this is taking place now. So there's much more to this pattern. If you'll notice in the chart below this recording, you can see that there are four little groups of planets or individual planets in this 90-degree pattern called a grand cross or grand square, and they are all in the mutable signs. So let's start with the points that are conjunct first, the Moon-Sun conjunction, and then conjunct Mars. So you may notice that the Moon-Sun conjunction is in what looks like the first house, really the second house in Virgo to the left side of the chart. And you can see that there's the circle with it's kind of a red circle with a slash running through it, plus the sun, plus the moon. Sun looks like a yellow disk, and the moon looks like the gray crescent. That pink thing is called Trans-Pluto. Trans-Pluto is a hypothetical point, and its job is to essentially compel the integration of different things. The formula that it's based on is a combination of certain planetary attributes of Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, the outer planets up to the time that Chiron was discovered. And it is like a it's quite hard to it's a difficult energy to express, but it's almost like a sifter that brings together many different things. And it is Virgo-like in that Virgo is also an important sign of integrating all kinds of opposites or seemingly different factors. So we have this new moon in Virgo conjunct a point that focuses the concept of integration, which is Trans-Pluto, not Pluto, Trans-Pluto. It's kind of a weird name for it. And anyway, that's what it was called. And here we have a sensation of narrowing, of focusing, and a caution in the spirit of Virgo to not be overly critical, maybe to be evaluative or to think about how you might be able to do things better, how you might want to resolve certain factors from the past, but not by means of being harsh with or criticizing yourself. Okay, so then there is Mars. And as you can see right next to Mars, I've drawn in this penciled in point, which looks like a circle with a T dropped into it. And that is called Admetos. Admetos is another hypothetical point. I'm one of the few astrologers these days who even bothers using these hypothetical points, but I just find them to be so interesting and colorful and adding things that other planets don't add. Otherwise, I wouldn't bother using them. The theme of Admetos is depth, drilling down, stagnation, depth, and mining is covered by Admetos. And when we've got this in a conjunction with Mars in Gemini, in the midst of a kind of fiery, maybe even explosive square, the idea here is that Mars is going to shake up that sensation of stagnation. So we've got a lot of stagnant energy on the planet right now. And it's one of the reasons why there is so much jarring, jolting activity on the planet. It is getting its power from all of the resistance and the lack of meaningful motion and lack of meaningful expression of ideas. And so now suddenly this Mars square with the sun and the moon has turned into Trans-Pluto sun moon square Mars Admetos. And so this on one level shows the effort to think things through, but Admetos is cautioning against stagnation, and then Mars is firing that up. And so one thing to be cautious about is the potential for anger associated with this this Mars square sun moon in Virgo, and also a lack of emotional empathy. There's not a heck of a lot going on in the water signs in this chart. We do have some things in the water signs, and the water signs do tend to emphasize resonance and empathy and sympathy. The things we have in water signs now are Centaur, Nessus, the asteroid Juno, neither of those being very empathetic, and then the planet Neptune. So there's not a lot of empathy in this chart, and there is a lot of mental energy. There is a lot of, potential strife in this chart. So this is all saying be careful and to proceed carefully and slowly and, do your best to not let fires burn out of control. There are other elements that indicate that that things might, not be able to be contained. We'll get to that in a moment. Now, there are two planets I don't believe I've ever talked about before anywhere in Planet Waves. I'm not sure I've ever typed the word tropos into a Planet Waves article, but it's one of the old and well-established asteroids, and it is the conditions at the end. A tropos is it's not always resolution. The conditions at the end might be resolution. The conditions at the end might be a kind of an unraveling. The conditions at the end might be a sudden and abrupt end to things. So there's a lot of possibilities. It might be a trailing off. But with Mars involved, and by the way, you can see Atropos. It looks like a little sideways butterfly with an A sticking out of it. And for confirmation, that's the one near the number 12, just above and to the left of the little flying pig, which is me, not a planet. Okay, so with Atropos, we have a caution to be mindful of endings and to work consciously with endings rather than to resist them. Okay, now there's yet another planet that I have never talked about before, and it's one that I have only gotten interested in recently, mainly because it popped up in this chart. I mean, there's new planets being added pretty much every month, and there's only so fast I can keep up, and most astrologers do not try to keep up at all. But when the planet lands in a chart making an extremely precise aspect, that's the time to perk up and to pay attention. And so the fourth leg of this Grand Cross is called Gong Gong. Now, the two gongs are pronounced differently in Chinese, whether it's a tonal difference or some inflection. But Gong Gong is he's kind of like a tricksterish, mischievous god of disasters, of things going wrong, of things going wrong. And I guess was eventually the other gods got together and banished Gong Gong because all he was doing was causing problems. And so what does this all add? Well, what does this all add up to? Well, one thing it adds up to is be cautious. Do not take anything for granted. Do not leave candles burning. If you live anywhere near a river or a creek, get your shit off the floor. Keep it on shelves and know where the high water mark is in the event that you have ever experienced a flood before. And the high water mark may be above your roof, as I was speaking to some people who were talking about the 14-foot wave of water that came down their street as a consequence of, I think, the hurricane in 2011. So I'm not saying that this is a chart that predicts disasters, but it does show an unstable, volatile situation where there are stagnant energies that look like they want to be released and let go of and to finally get some movement going on that. Okay, so let's take a short little break, and I'm going to come back in a moment and look at the rest of the chart, and mainly I want to talk about the forthcoming Mercury retrograde in Libra and in Virgo, and then also continue my introduction of Mars retrograde in the sign Gemini, which is coming up right around Halloween time. This music is by Vision Quest, featuring a guest artist named Jelko. And this is Fugue number 14. Thank you. the eerie, spacey sounds of the Jelko Fugue series composed specifically for Planet Waves readings. Thank you, Jelko, a.k.a. Zed. Okay, a few other things here. First of all, one last point to make about the Grand Cross in the early mutable signs. And again, the Grand Cross is centered around the new moon. We might not think that these minor planets have any impact, but things in astrology have influence to the extent that the astrologer is able to read them in a meaningful and accurate way. So the Grand Cross of this new moon consists of the moon and the sun kind of leading off things in a conjunction with trans-Pluto, squared by Mars or squaring Mars. And Mars is conjunct Admetos. That's the one of stagnation, death, and depth. Okay, then this is opposite, and this is opposite Atropos, and that is in Sagittarius, and that is square. Most of these points are square. All of them are square or opposite Gonggong, and Gonggong is the mischievous Chinese disaster god. Okay, so again, this does not promise that there will be disasters, but we do know that there's kind of a world management team policy of make as many disasters as possible, and we are going to be getting a fair amount of not so positive news through the autumn. This is just in the Rita, as they would say in Sanskrit. Okay, now one other point is involved in this pattern, and that is Pholus. And Pholus is in Capricorn, exactly trine the new moon. Pholus is a centaur, not an asteroid. A very important point. It's the second asteroid, excuse me, not an asteroid. It is the second, not an asteroid, but rather a centaur, discovered ever in 1992. And this makes the class of centaurs into what it was. You need two things to form a class of planets in astronomy. And the thing with Pholus is that, first of all, it is trine the sun and the moon from Capricorn. And Pholus is a pressurized release. It is like shaking up, well, not you could, you sure, you could shake up a bottle of Pepsi on a cold day, or you could take a bottle of Pepsi and open it and drop into Mentos. I've never done this personally, but I've seen it demonstrated on Mythbusters, and it looks quite exciting. And some combination of the chemicals in the Mentos candies combined with some ingredients and the carbonation of the soda makes the thing shoot up into the sky like a jet about 8 feet high. And that is the energy of Pholus. Pholus is like the genie coming out of the bottle. So there is likely to be some form of a pressurized release as a result of this new moon, and all the other points are talking about it, particularly the narrow Venturi-like quality of trans-Pluto, the wanting-to-be unstuck quality of Admetos, and the kind of like rain and flood fury of Gonggong. Now we have Pholus in the picture, and Pholus in the picture adds this kind of a persistent sensation of things going on and on for a while. So what the upshot of this is, and I'm not overly interpreting here, but the upshot is that we do need to keep things on as positive and cooperative of a track as possible. Now, this is not easy. We are all living under a capitalist system, and the capitalist system is all about competition and not cooperation. Cooperation is seen as like aiding and abetting the enemy and all this stuff. It's a lot of bullshit. So bear in mind that what gets started will continue to get, it will continue to go and build momentum. Okay, a few more points in this chart. For one thing, Uranus is conjunct the North Node. Uranus recently stationed retrograde a couple of days ago, maybe even today. And it is highly emphasized conjunct the North Node. Uranus, the planet of inventions and revolutions and disruptions, is conjunct the North Node. It is still in a slowly separating square from Saturn. The square is mostly exact in 2021, if I recall correctly, maybe early 2022. But that square is still in full force and effect. And so we have another one of these things that describes the tension between a thing that wants to move, a thing that wants to move the energy along in the form of Uranus, and a thing that wants to contain the energy in the form of Saturn. Both are retrograde, which means restrained and perhaps to some extent contained, but they still can act with quite a bit of emphasis and quite a bit of force. Okay, so bear in mind that that's going on at the same time. Mercury, for its part, really should have covered this a little bit sooner, but given the emphasis on Mercury-ruled signs in this chart, right? The basis of all the action in this chart is the Moon and the Sun in a conjunction in Mercury-ruled Virgo in a very tight, precise square to Mars in Mercury-ruled Gemini. So when you see things going on in the Mercury-ruled signs, the first question to ask yourself is, well, what's Mr. Mercury doing? Or Mr., Ms., or Mrs. Mercury. Mercury is an androgynous planet, and especially in Libra, it'll be gender-bending all over the place. So Mercury is in the second degree of Libra. And in the first degree of Libra is a minor planet, an asteroid called Psyche. So this is an interesting combination because Psyche is such a mental planet. I mean, even the word Psyche even means soul when you translate it into English. But we think of Psyche as being more than just about soul. We think of Psyche in the sense in modern English of Psyche is that it is the total mind. It is like the mind that we can experience and identify with. Actually, translated out of Greek, it means soul, which means that psychology really is study of the soul. But when we use the word psychology, we think of psychology as the study of the mind. In any event, Psyche, the planet of mind or of soul, is in a conjunction with Mercury. And the thing that Psyche confers is the sense of an injury that never heals. So this is a false sense because injuries can all heal for the most part, but with Psyche there is this sense that it will not or is not resolving. Now this is something to be mindful of, and when you find yourself in that place, the thing that you want to do is not believe it, first of all, and look for the healing venue, second of all. All right, so that's going on. And notably, it is on the Aries point. The Aries point, meaning the first degree of Aries, Cancer, Libra, or Capricorn, and a few other points in the zodiac, the Aries point creates an intersection between the individual and the collective. And so when you've got an intersection between the individual and the collective, there's the sense that A, the individual can magnify out to the collective level, and that anything that happens on the collective level in society can also manifest in a very strong way for the individual. So that's why it's an intersection point of the individual and the collective. It's kind of like a small side street in a residential neighborhood intersecting with a larger avenue. And the question is, where do you want to pitch your folding chair? Do you want to put it right in the middle of the intersection, or do you want to put it on the sidewalk on the corner? In either event, you've got to be near the intersection to get the benefits of this. But you do not have to put your chair right in the traffic lane. Okay, so now let's talk a little bit about the forthcoming Mercury retrograde. Forthcoming Mercury retrograde starts in Libra. Mercury is slowing down. It is slow and powerful. And that is what it does when it is near a point of retrograde. It slows down, and then the effect is that it is emphasized and it has more influence and a kind of a louder voice for moving more slowly. Mercury retrograde begins September 9th at 11 38 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So that's, let's see, September 9th. It's going to be September 10th in some time zones. The ninth day of September is a Friday. So that is essentially the way I've learned how to say it, writing across mostly American and European time zones, is that Mercury stations retrograde overnight from Friday the 9th to Saturday the 10th, and if you have an ephemeris, it will definitely list the retrograde as beginning on the 10th because most of them are set in Greenwich Mean Time. Okay, so Mercury stations retrograde in Libra. It is still close enough to the Aries point to have that effect, and it's also going to be opposite Jupiter, which has a magnifying effect, and it's going to be an aspect to a number of other planets when it does this. The retrograde will last through, hold on, where did my events palette go? Events. Okay, the station direct is the 2nd of October. And so the Mercury is already feeling a little retrograde-y right now in that I'm noticing like certain technical tasks feel overwhelming, and even if they're not, and I'm feeling like I've got to do things three times to get them right. Who knows? That often happens. There's a lot. I tend to do a lot of revisions in what I do, minor, major revisions, but some form of revisions. But I'm finding that I'm having to revise things a bit more, and Mercury retrograde is approaching. It is not quite. Well, is it in the? It's in shadow phase right now because Mercury is going to recross those very degrees. So anyway, we're in the shadow phase. Yeah, so we're in the very earliest stage of Mercury retrograde, even though Mercury is running direct. And then this ends on October the 2nd, and then it's still a couple of more weeks to fully work out the effect of the Mercury retrograde. So take your time with things, plan your work and work your plan. Try not to initiate things. I think it's okay to implement things that you have been working on for a while, as long as you accept that there may be some revisions that need to happen, as long as you understand that things may not go according to plan the first time. And so that's the general rule of thumb of Mercury retrogrades in general, which is just be prepared to do things over a couple of times and get it right. And again, it's not the best idea to start things during Mercury retrograde, but it is a fine idea to resolve and finish things you have already started. Okay, one last point for today in my ongoing warm-up of Mars in Gemini, eventually to become Mars retrograde in Gemini. So this is a mini era in world history, this Mars retrograde in Gemini. I haven't checked the ephemeris to find out when the last time Mars was retrograde in Gemini. I will have that for you the next time I speak with you, maybe in writing. But anyway, so we're in this long process of Mars moving through a sign which it has no natural affinity for, and which is going to make Mars be more volatile. That Gemini is providing a lot of oxygen for the fiery capability of that Mars. One of the interesting things that's going on with Mars in Gemini is that it is going to make conjunctions to the natal nessus of everyone born from the early 1960s out to the mid-1970s. Now, that's getting a little bit esoteric for an astrology podcast, but I think you might understand what I'm talking about, which is that everyone born between about 1961 and about 75, 15-year phase that Nessus moved through Gemini, is born with Nessus in Gemini. So one of the things about Nessus is that it is about it's about taking accountability. It is about the return of karma. It's about things coming back to where they started. And so the Nessus placement of everyone born in a long swath of time, about 14 or 15 years, is going to experience Mars conjunct Nessus and potentially Mars conjunct Nessus three times, because Mars is going to be retrograde and bouncing back and forth in mostly in late Gemini. All right, so what is that about? Well, this is about the stirring up of old injuries, everyone's favorite subject. So there are going to be, if you're born in this date range of 1961 to about 1974 or 75, there are going to be times when you are feeling old injuries provoked and perked up. And the important thing to do when that is going on is to not blame the people who are in your immediate surroundings, but rather to take responsibility for your own healing process. When we have important matters of healing like this coming up, the buck always stops with you. You are always responsible for your own healing journey and your own healing process. And ultimately, the buck is passed and passed and passed until the buck is passed to you. And then it's your turn to keep the buck, meaning the buck horn, and deal the cards. All right, so that Mars conjunct Nessus takes place any time between now, for people born in the very early 1960s, all the way out through either there'll be one the first far range in late Gemini will be around Halloween, and then the second will be around the spring equinox of 2023. So we are in this mini era that spans from right now all the way out through the spring equinox of 2023, an approximately 7-month range where we're going to have events that all surround one basic general theme. And that theme is whatever Mars retrograde turns out to be for you. I will be talking about this probably every time I do an audio reading, every time I write, every time I do a podcast or Planet Waves FM. I'm going to pay some homage to Mars retrograde in Gemini. So that means I'll have more for you the next time that you hear from me. If you happen to be Virgo, Sun, Moon, or Rising, or for that matter, Virgo, Chiron in Virgo, the Planet Waves reading for Virgo is going to be ready super soon. I thought I was going to do it today, but I'm not quite moving fast enough. One project is enough on a day when I'm coming back up to speed after a little quasi break, which I happen to be doing right now. So that is on sale for the lowest available price, and then it'll likely come out sometime in the early afternoon on Friday. Let's see what else. Thank you to our subscribers. We continue to be supported mainly by our subscribers. I know everybody and their uncle is trying to charge a subscription fee. Every bullshit local paper that's just recycling 90%, you know, wire service content and cartoons it picked up for $5 is also trying to get your subscription dollars. And I want to thank you if you are a subscriber to Planet Waves, and just put in a good word for myself and say that we offer a whole bunch of things that you can't get anywhere else on the internet or off the internet. And we have our own unique angle on the astrology, as you will hear, a non-predictive, much more laid back reading of things that leaves the possibilities open. I was at a party last night where a fairly famous writer and political activist named Naomi Wolf was there, and we got onto the topic of Mars retrograde in Gemini, and she kept saying, "Yeah, but what's the star saying is going to happen? What's going to happen?" And I'm like, "Well, there's part of this that's up to us entirely, and that's the approach I like to take with the astrology, is to emphasize the part of the astrology that is, in fact, up to us, while informing you about the parts that are not necessarily up to us, such as where the planets physically are at any given time in their orbits, which is what I've, in my slow-paced and roundabout way, have just spent the last 40 minutes of our mutual lives doing. Thank you again for tuning in. Look for the monthly horoscope for September next week, and a new edition of Planet Waves FM shortly after that, 1 week from tomorrow, I think on September 2nd or something like that. And thank you for your business and your trust. With love from Planet Waves. Bye for now.